See, and then it's other stuff too. Like when I see somebody like trying, like another white person try to get waves, and that too irks me sometimes. Like, and I'm like, I'm gonna let you do your thing, even though I know it's not gonna work.
But then again, like when it comes to white people, they got some hairstyles that we copy too, right?
Right. Like the ponytail, it's a universal thing, but that's just like for everybody.
In response to Before you scroll.
And we have that to people there, right? So yeah. You can go to Baltimore, they'd be like, where are you from? Because, you know,
song. It's called Bigger the Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
are you attracted to lyrics, harsh beats?
Like, I have a good ear for beats.
Yeah, like, if the beat doesn't sound good before the lyrics, I figure I'm
like, if the beat's not gonna, like, it's something that catches me, like, and I like to hear something that's, like, unique, that's, like, something that person's signature, some person, like, will master, like, a sound that I go back to them for,
yeah.
And, like, I like when people switch it up, too, because I don't want to hear the same song, beats are really nice too. I love drill beats. And then I love a lot of melodic rap is nice too. Oh, Chicago drill too. Chicago drill is nice. Like Chief Keef.
Drill's origin.
could have just played music, but.
Yo, how you guys doing in terms of the show?
We're pretty good right now. Pretty much set.
Cool.
He's on the headphones right now.
Is Roxanne going to be on the whole show with you guys, or just the second half?
Do the whole show. I know there's going to be a lot
of cool. It seems like y'all have a lot of good stuff to talk about.
And it'll mostly be Lincoln and her talking.
Great. Have some song breaks.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
I have about 4 songs.
Yeah. Yeah. So when there's like a lull in the conversation, just take a break.
No, I'm saying
that
like,
sounds great though.
I know, but I'm saying just for you. I don't. Then you don't.
So, how is the agenda gonna go?
All right, so I have.
How does it go?
All right, I need my script.
Where's the script? Right.
All right, so first, what happens is we come in on like a little like a song. We'll play a song. And then I'll say, welcome to Clubhouse Radio. This
intro?
Mm-hmm. I'll say, stay tuned. And then he'll play a bunch of stuff. And then after that, I'll say you were just listening too, because we have our own like original theme song. So I'll play that, and I'll introduce it. And then I'll say our little thing we have to say for...
The sponsor message?
Yeah. And then... Well, they have a disclaimer.
Oh.
My bad. And then I'll say what the show is going to be about. So I'll be like, today's show is going to be about... Juneteenth or whatever, and then I'll introduce you.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'll be like, I am your host, and we have like a little DJ name.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be like DJ Ricky. I took that little Boys in the Hood. I don't know why it just happened to be what I took.
Word.
My favorite movie.
Is it?
It was when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Teenager.
And I mean half the time. Half the time we don't really go with our nicknames, but we just have them there just for, I guess, fun.
Mm-hmm.
So then you would just like you have a mic, so I'd be like,
so
I'm here with.
Is this gonna be a question and answer?
Yeah, I wrote down some questions.
And then you
talking.
Can ask him some questions.
Yeah,
too,
you can
so,
ask
you know.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because I was writing the questions while she was talking, because I figured what she was saying there.
No
type task.
You are amazing.
Yeah.
That's why he was quiet a lot. Just
yeah,
lying.
I was just listening. I was just listening, and then,
yeah.
But yeah. So I would. So he would be like, I'd be like, I'm DJ Ricky, and I'm here with. And he would say him,
mm-hmm.
And then you would say whatever you want to go by, your actual name or nickname. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would just get basically run into it. And then at 6:30, we have to play the news update, which is like just the news really. And then the better weather, right?
Yeah.
And then. We come back in,
yep,
and finish the show off.
As in, do you want us to be on for the whole show or just up until the 6:30?
Yeah, the whole show. Cause I feel like I got a lot of, I got 5 questions, but I feel like each question is gonna take like a good 15 minutes to cover probably.
Mm-hmm.
I got to just assume.
Okay.
So.
And do you have a second mic? Or do we share a mic?
You guys can. There's another mic for you. We have. This mic, so if you wanted to use this one since you're closer.
Are we missing a stand? Is that the case?
I think so.
Or did they bring it over here?
Because usually it would be 2 chairs at each table, wouldn't it? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be 2, but since COVID itself, we like kind of moved them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because wasn't it before? It was like, it would be like Kingston and Phoebes, like Phoebes right here and then Kingston right
mm-hmm.
here.
Yep.
So then like it's kind of different now. So the mics are more spread out with stuff. But I mean, I guess.
Or at least we can share a mic. Are there 2 headsets that we can.
Yeah,
can
I don't. I never use my headset. I just
okay.
listen from this.
Okay.
So one of you guys could use
okay.
this, and then.
Here's some spray if you need that.
Yeah, can we wipe? Can we
that.
Wipe down all
yeah,
the things?
Let me get the.
But school's ending in like 3 days.
Oh,
so
really?
10th grade. So it's off.
Nice, congratulations.
Are you taking off the dry one?
Yeah, sure. Wait. Yeah, it is June. Yeah.
So school's been a little different this year.
You went virtual all year?
I went in person.
Went half and half.
Yeah, half and half. I was gonna do all at home, but then I figured I need to see my friends here and there, and get out the house here and there too. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I honestly, I thought there was gonna be a nationwide strike from teachers and students alike about this whole virtual, like sitting in a chair at home for 8 hours. I'm like, they gonna go on strike.
It was annoying.
Yeah, but y'all made it through. I really thought y'all were gonna be like, nah, this is not healthy.
At first, we were all excited when school got closed. We were like, yes, we don't gotta go there no more. We can just stay home. And then you got about to like the halfway through, like school, and you're like, dang, I'm bored. And then you're summertime, you're just in the house. And you're like, we was just asking for school to close. Now we wanted to come back.
Yeah.
And
yeah, need that balance. Yeah.
But you can use this headset.
Yeah.
You can use this headset because I was gonna give you this one, but it's missing a head thing. So you can use this one.
Okay, cool.
Because I don't use mine. I just talk, go with the flow, kind of. Mm-hmm. So. Don't mind how sloppy this is. It's usually neater, but
it's all good. It's all good. It's a clubhouse, right?
Yeah. Miss Bedila has her little her show, right? Her theater thing.
She it happened already.
Yeah.
Did you go?
No, I didn't go.
Oh man, it was great. It was the last one.
The fire dance thing?
Yeah, fire dance. It was her last play. Oh, I wish you could have came.
She was telling us about it. So
oh, why didn't y'all come?
I, to be honest,
forgot about it.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it. Otherwise, if I had really remembered that I would have came. Because
yeah.
It was free just with masks.
Yeah.
I would have came.
Yeah. It was good.
It sounded,
I documented it, so I'm going to edit it together, so there'll be a video of the play.
Because it sounded good, like, when we were in here, when she was here, and we interviewed her about it. It sounded like a really fun, interesting thing that I would have liked to watch, but...
Yeah, it was great.
If I'd have had, like, you know, my memory was working, I wasn't focused on school. Probably would have won. We probably would have like went all together at like a clubhouse.
Yeah, clubhouse.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we didn't do that.
Yeah,
I figured we probably would have done that.
Yeah, I figured that's what the plan was.
Mm. What grade are you in?
Same thing.
Ninth
too? Wow. Y'all are pretty extroverted, advanced, and confident for ninth graders. I don't meet many ninth graders as confident.
Me neither. Believe it or not, most of the people in my
is this natural or did you go through a leadership program?
We went through a mentorship.
Yeah.
Before, just to know how to do this and stuff. Because before, Phoebe and Kingston, they were like the adult doing this.
Gotcha.
But then they went away,
uh-huh.
And they didn't know really how to make it so they could do this here. So they hired youth to
and
do
it. Was really just like, it was passed on to me and then so forth. And so.
Yeah, it was just him at first, and then it was him and Shaw, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I came along in like October. And we started recruiting. And then
well, it was them, and then it was me and Shah, and then Shah, he went away for football, and I kind of had to hold things down by myself for a while. And then
yeah, I was here too. Don't say that. I was always here.
I did it by myself for like a year.
Oh, I thought you meant like recently. Nah. But, yeah.
Wait, is this your natural personality?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We act like this. We're a little bit more professional. Like, if it was just us, you'd probably be goofing around a lot.
Yeah.
But
you're already, like, a social
kind of
person.
We always.
And the thing is, like, I'm not going to give the people something that I'm not on the radio show. Like, if someone was to run into me,
like
I'm the same person, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to portray something that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Not fake.
And y'all from Casco, like, born and raised?
I was born in Schenectady, and I lived there since I was about 4 or 5. But all of my siblings, my mom, she kind of was a little bit out of it, and she had 6 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And four of them went to my uncle, like her brother.
Yeah.
And my second oldest sister, my aunt took her, and then my oldest aunt took me.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived with my aunt and her sons for like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got taken
here
from my
or in
Schenectady, because I got taken from my mom when I was like 2 months, 3 months old. And then I just stayed with them. And then my aunt wanted to come down here because all my brothers and sisters live down here.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted me to kind of grow up with them and be close with them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we came down here, and I've been here since then. even though all of my brothers and sisters ended up leaving Catskill.
Oh, really?
Just, like, after high school, they just up and left.
So how long have you been here in high school? In Catskill, I mean.
For about a good 10, 11 years.
Oh, wow. You've moved a lot then. All that happened before you came here?
Yeah. Well,
I was born in Hudson, and I was going to be, like, in the city, I think, like, the Bronx or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, Harlem. That's where I was going to be raised, but then my dad didn't want me to, like, you know, live a life where I was going to be, like, around, like, a whole bunch of, like,
mm-hmm.
possibly be around, like, drugs and, like, gang violence and things like that, and my dad didn't want me around that, so, like, because he was raised in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was raised in the Bronx, so, like, my mom and dad didn't want that for me.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to kind of, like, you know, like, live, like, a different type of lifestyle so I can come down here and, you know, do, like, better than they did.
Mm-hmm. How do you like it here?
I mean, basically being here my whole life, I mean, it's
just what you know. Yeah.
It's not just what I know, but it's like, it's cool.
After
it's like, after a while, it's boring. It's like your life is like on a loop. Like,
yeah.
You wake up and do the same things every day. Like, you go to the same place to see the same faces.
Only thing different is school. That's like the only thing. Like, when you transition, like when I transitioned from elementary school to middle school, that was like the
your
most
life only
new
just gets
thing.
More stressful. That's
yeah.
the only thing.
Really, basically, that's how it is. Because Catskill
like,
is such a
add,
small town.
You add like your job and you add work and everything else on top of it. Things going on at home,
mm-hmm.
stuff just gets annoying. But
yeah.
I mean, I guess it's all part of life, though.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I was really psyched out because I was happy to actually get a job
mm-hmm.
before,
exactly.
like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I actually like matured to like where I am now. I got my other job at 14 in the summer
mm-hmm.
of, I think, 19 or 20, I think in August.
It was 20.
Yeah.
It was last year because you were telling me about how you were making $500, $600.
Yeah.
All that
yeah.
stuff.
And that's like a lot of money to me.
For like a young
like,
teenager.
For
yeah.
me, like, because,
yeah.
you know, I never touched that like myself. Like, my parents might touch that. I might have like been spent on me. But I've never like actually had that for myself to, you know, go and make my own executive type decisions. And so once I had that type of money in my hands, like, I think all in all, like, I made, like, $2,000 or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And it was just, like, the amount of, like, amount that that really took out of me. Like, work took, like, a huge toll on me because, like,
mm-hmm.
it was really a lot.
Where were you working?
Here.
Because
I was, yeah, I was doing, it really felt like we were doing a lot at the time. Because
mm-hmm.
it was, like,
mm-hmm.
We would wake up really early to go to the farm and do pull up plastic, and it'd be a whole thing. And then coming here, doing the garden, doing yoga, like it's a
oh,
whole
wow.
cycle of.
See,
like,
I'm glad I wasn't here working here when y'all did all that yoga stuff.
But
that
it was good. It was good pay for what we were doing. Like we get like 11, 12 hours. So like, no matter what we'd
you got
always,
paid
like,
by
hour?
Yeah.
I think it
was.
Yeah, I think it was like $13.50 an hour or something like that.
So that's probably gonna be this summer too for us, right? Cause this like radio show is $15 an hour,
mm-hmm.
and it's like every well, actually anything we really do for WGXC.
WGXC is basically that.
Yeah. So it's
and
yeah.
And then this goes on top of our regular work, so we usually end up getting around 3 hours for regular work, and then other stuff on top of it,
mm-hmm.
like the radio show. You can do the Academy of Black Excellence. That's another maybe 3 to 2 hours. And then if we have a work meeting, that's another 3 to 2 hours. So, like, you know, we do get different opportunities to add more hours to our timesheet. Just depends on really, like, when and where kind of situation.
Yeah, it's because, like, this summer we're doing something. We're doing two different things. We're doing this program, like, that one thing
mm-hmm.
with
and then,
Ty. And then we have another thing with Narcan.
It's workforce.
Yeah, workforce and then Narcan. So we have both of those.
That's what I was under before. I was under workforce before with Kai.
Mm-hmm.
I was with workforce and, well, workforce clubhouse, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm with MHA. I'm employed by MHA. And then it's really like both, and I'm like under both wings. So I get to do that work.
Mm-hmm.
And then plus this
mm-hmm.
in like my Narcan training and stuff like that. That's what I'm doing kind of now.
Are you paid by both, or is it all the same?
It's like, I think it goes into one paycheck, right? Do we get two?
To be honest, I think it's both.
Mm-hmm.
I think I get from both,
mm-hmm.
or both organizations
are you paid
give.
Is it the same hourly rate from both, or is it different?
No, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I think workforce is more.
Yeah, workforce is more than our game, right?
But MHA is, like, still paying us because we're, like, we still do work for them. Like, we are still employed. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're getting, like, different badges in Lincoln. I do have to take my picture before I leave so I can turn that in. So
I got to take a picture of you? Oh yeah, cause you were jealous. He was jealous.
I need my lanyard. Picture.
He was the only one that had one.
I'm the only one. I don't have my lanyard yet.
He was jealous. He was.
Oh, that work lanyard. Official employee lanyard.
Just seeing the MHA thing, it feels so good. Like just knowing I'm employed by like such an organization. Just like, and whenever like it catches eyes too. Like, and things like when my teachers talk to me about it, they're like they see my hoodies because I have like different like MHA hoodies and stuff like that. They're like, oh. I see, like, you're employed by MHA. Yeah, it's like it's a good conversation starter. Mm-hmm.
Actually, wait, you're only in ninth grade and you've been working for 3 years here?
Oh, no. Oh. I've been working on the show for 3 years, but I didn't recently just start. I only got started getting paid for like 1.5.
Yeah.
Because
you
have to be, 14.5 to get a mm-hmm.
So before, it was really just something we did for fun.
It can be once you turn 14, but it's like your work is limited. Like yeah, you're going to get
3 hours every day that there is school. If there's not school, then you're good. Mm-hmm. But if there's school.
But I think you get a limit of 8 or so hours.
Every week.
It's about to be 6.
Yep. Yeah, no, I got to go get.
I had to go. Can I get something to drink?
Yeah.
Yeah,
where do I?
Here.
Yeah, I said I feel invisible. They like, Poppy, what you get into? I pop a burger retarded. Wait. Yeah. Yeah. I said I feel invisible. Hold on. It's 100 in the spot. I won't keep going. It's 85 just to walk on. I don't talk to this cause a lot of these be corny. I'm feeling horny. And I shoot like Robert Horry. I'm up this percolated. I got a percolated. I give it a percolated. I show it it's percolated tricks. Possible, they know who in the city. Possible, you can ask me. Possible, what's up with city? Possible, going 50 for 50. I pop a book of retorted, then shoot up the party, then change the artillery. Energy. I'm giving nothing but energy. I give up a Hennessy. I give two shots to the enemy. Hope you remember me. What the f*** telling me? I spent 250 on my wrist. I spent 250 on my level G. Doing the grip. Walking in spot and turn everybody. DJ, Clue. My with the wolves. Tell Spank in and play it back. While the wolves throw the bag. I know I'm shooting for the stars. Aiming for the moon. I shoot at any op. Cause you know I woo. Send that to the medic. Everything raw, no edit. Possible, did it. I said I feel invisible, hold on. It's 100 in the spot. I won't keep going. It's 85 just to walk on. I don't talk to this cause a lot of these be corny. I'm feeling horny. And I shoot like Robert Horry. I'm a bitch percolated. I got a percolated. I give it it's percolated. I show it it's percolated tricks. Possible, they know who in the city. Possible, you can ask Diddy. Possible, what's up with city? Possible, going 50 for 50.
They keep.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Casco Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. That song was
That song was Invincible by Pop Smoke. Stay tuned for a great discussion and more. We will kick off our show after local news and weather.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, June 11th. A mostly dry day is ahead. Starting out in the mid-50s.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdemar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here's what we do with the clubhouse. It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mine, just your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the video at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse. No judgment at the clubhouse. No drama at the clubhouse. We accept you at the clubhouse. Got field trips at the clubhouse. Got art supplies at the clubhouse. Creativity at the clubhouse. Paint your own wall at the clubhouse. Got a TV at the clubhouse. Got Wi-Fi at the clubhouse. Food and snacks at the clubhouse. Hope to see you at the clubhouse.
You were just listening to an original Clubhouse theme song being our tracks music program by DJ WGIC or WIC. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. All views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization or the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Juneteenth. Yeah, so we're just gonna. I'm DJ Ricky, and I'm here with
Tanya Jackson.
And my sound engineer is
DJ Popcorn.
Sir, all right. So, Tanya, my first question for you is, what is Juneteenth? For like the listeners at home who don't know.
Thank you for having me on the show today. My name is Tanya Jackson. I am the organizer for the Hudson Juneteenth celebration. This will be our second year having one in Hudson. My cousin Gonda Badilla and I started this last year. We're both from Hudson. to an extent. We both moved to Hudson when we were very young and grew up there. You know, left college, lived life, and then both moved back. And so we're from the area in that sense, and have been just working to do programming in the community. My focus is culture and film and media, and so doing Juneteenth, you know, just aligned with what, you know, what my passions are in the world. And so Juneteenth, to answer your question, has grown to be a celebration. There's a historical heritage observance within the African American community. It is happens on June 19th every year, which marks the day in which the last of our enslaved ancestors that we know of found out about the Emancipation Proclamation in 1865, that they were free from legal state-sanctioned slavery. And so Juneteenth, while we nationally celebrate it on the 19th of June, it does vary in different regions of the country depending on when your city, your community found out that you were no longer enslaved by the state. And so Juneteenth, so it has, depending on where you are in the country, you may find that some people celebrate it in May, some people celebrate it in April, but most people, particularly when our ancestors migrated from Texas, other places, took that Juneteenth history and that date with them, and that's how we know of it today, as the people who kept it alive before. And so depending, again, where you are in the country, it's called Freedom Day. Some places call it Emancipation Day. And some places yet, like in New Orleans, they call it Jubilee Day. So depending on where you are in the country, there'll be a different regional name given to Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm. So I assume you do, like, you celebrate it, of course. So is there any special things you do on that particular day?
I did not grow up celebrating Juneteenth. It was not a family tradition. I grew up initially in New York City. We bounced around a lot growing up, Hempstead, Long Island, Staten Island, the Bronx. And so because I was in a city culture, I was exposed to a lot of Black culture from the diaspora and around the world, because it's New York City. So you get exposed to a lot of different cultures. So I did grow up with other Black and Afrocentric cultures. And I also grew up in the 90s. So I grew up in what they call the golden age of hip hop. And so during that time, there was a resurgence around Black pride, but through the hip hop lens. That kind of was, you know, on the shoulders of the Black arts movement of the 1960s and that generation that really took culture and put Black pride into all the cultural offerings. And so in the 90s, we had a resurgence of that with music, with TV, with film. And so, of course, that spilled out into our day-to-day life and the kinds of cultural, you know, celebrations that we had. And so I was exposed to a lot of festivals, but I didn't always know what it was called or what I was at. It was just this Afrocentric, there's drums, there's vendors, there's fun. And so I would just be there, but not really knowing, oh, this is the blank celebration or this is the that celebration. So I didn't grow up knowing what Juneteenth was. And so, but when I, as an adult, being in other cities and that were celebrating Juneteenth, is how I was made aware that this was, you know, the end of enslavement was celebrated by our ancestors and was a thing. And so last year was my first time actually intentionally celebrating Juneteenth. And my cousin and I came up with the idea of it being a block party. And so we had it in front of Bliss Towers, because Bliss Towers is symbolic to where the Black community is in Hudson. It is where, you know, through all this gentrification that's happening in Hudson, where most of our community and residents are being pushed even further down street around Bliss Towers. It's almost like there's like a 3-block radius where you see the predominantly Black and brown folks of whose socioeconomics are, you know, lower in terms of their financial means, not in terms of their wealth in other ways. And so we wanted to have it where the people were at. We wanted it to be a block party because it's supposed to be, you know, reflective of our culture. And so we wanted to
have a celebration that says all of who we are is beautiful and all of who we are deserves to be celebrated. And let's have a day where we're just sitting in our joy and we're like just loving on ourselves and playing and being in community. And so, you know, I had not been to a Juneteenth celebration before to know if there were certain traditions I was supposed to do. So that left us to be free to do whatever we wanted to do that was in service of like what we wanted the day to be. And was like, you know, if this is Freedom Day, what does it mean to be free? And so we're like sitting in our joy, you know, and so that's, we led from that place. And we had activities for all the kids, and we had water and sprinkles, and gave out food, and we had double dutch, we had drumming, we had a live DJ, we had, you know, the basketball court was open, which, you know, and then we had at the evening, we had a procession of the community leaders that were elders to say, you know, and this was like, you know, the summer of the summer of a Freedom Summer after George Floyd's murder was, you know, this uprisings across the country. And so, you know, this was a time when all, you know, there was a lot of Black Lives Matter protests, rallies happening, but a lot of them weren't being led by Black people. And so that was something we were noticing throughout Hudson. It's just like, you know, it's like there's a bunch of stuff going on, but I don't know that the Black community is being, you know, partnered with or even consulted around what does it mean for us to support you and be in solidarity with your community that's fighting for your freedom and for the safety of your community. And so we said that we wanted Juneteenth to be a celebration, but also for it to be a chance to have a community conversation around what does the Black community want? How does the Black community see being in solidarity with it? So if you're going to be out here having events, raising money, getting grants to do things on our behalf, we're going to have a conversation where you come hear what we have to say. And so we ended the day with community leaders that were elders at this point, talking about of their decades of struggling and trying to get Hudson, Catskill, you know, Columbia County and Greene County to have more services for the Black and brown communities. It was like, you know, from your experience and level of work, what do you see are the issues in our communities, and what do you think solidarity looks like? What do you want us as younger folks to take into like the future of what does it mean for us to keep developing ourselves? And so that's the way that it was last year. So Juneteenth for me is a new celebration in my like personal life. I celebrate Kwanzaa heavily every year. And so, and for me, Kwanzaa is something you practice every year because it's, you know, it's these seven principles that are about a lifestyle, not just about a holiday. And for me, Juneteenth felt like a natural, you know, result in a natural way of holding myself accountable to practicing Kwanzaa. Like, what is self-determination? If we don't have cultural arts festivals in the city, then you have to practice my own self-determination, you know, practice Kujichagulia and make it happen. And do it collectively. So for me, the way that I've organized Juneteenth is about practicing those Kwanzaa principles, because our holidays and our observances have to do with how are we developing ourselves as a community and developing our own pride in ourselves. And so what I try to do is hold myself accountable to making that real and not just performative and not just superficial.
I feel you. So I heard you talking about with the kids, you had like events and stuff, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. How important do you feel it is for kids to understand what Juneteenth really is?
Mm-hmm. I think it's incredibly important. One, just for the sheer, like, you know, I'm going to keep going back to what does it mean to have pride in yourself and your heritage? You know, to be a young Black kid who doesn't grow up having cultural festivals that say your people are amazing, and here's a festival to celebrate that. If you don't grow up with that, how do you find that sense of self? How do you find that sense of pride in the group of people that you're going to, you know, while you're here on this earth, be connected to on some level, whether you, you know, live in that community or not? You know, you are, you know, the way that the world is set up, you're going to be seen as part of that community. And it's, you know, I think it's incredible if you can grow up feeling proud of that community. And so I think, you know, for kids when it comes to Juneteenth, just soaking up that these people, like, these, you know, like, okay, I'm going to go to this thing and I hope it's fun. But, like, look, this is how when I become an adult, these become the memories that matter to me. And, you know, if Juneteenth can be a place for those memories to be, like, good memories, right? So you can grow up and have a lot of experiences and have a lot of memories and then not be good and be like, you know, my childhood sucked. My community sucked. We didn't do nothing, you know. All we saw were the police. All we saw was when it was time for us to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Juneteenth, just as a sheer, you know, that level for a kid, I think it's incredibly important. And then deeper than that, I think that if you're a kid who's curious about what it is that you're at, like, what is this festival? Like, you know, is there ice pops? Is there hot dogs? And is there some place for me to play my video game? Like, if you can get beyond that and be curious about it, I think that it then can plant seeds in you about a different level of, you know, who am I? What, you know, what does it mean for me to have black skin? What does it mean for me to have brown skin? Like, what is this? Like, oh, yeah, I hear people talking about this. Oh, okay. Then you can start making connections for yourself. And in particular, with Juneteenth, this idea that it was like the way that slavery and post-slavery is talked about, what I love about Juneteenth is it's a holiday, one that we're like remembering that we celebrated. Mm-hmm. And so just having to say, like, dang, this is something that they celebrated in 1865 up until now, why am I only learning about it? Yeah. And so just that question alone as a kid helps you to be like, you know what, that's right, that my, you know, the old heads in my life are always saying that, you know, we got to know our history, and our history has been hidden from us. And when you learn about Juneteenth, it becomes one of those examples. It's like, ah, here's an example of something that they didn't teach me in school, that this is something I didn't know about. That's what my mom meant, or that's what my uncle meant, or that's what my, you know, so-and-so meant when they said you're going to, you know, to learn your history means you're going to have to want to learn your history. And to learn about Juneteenth means that you're learning about people who weren't given their freedom but who fought for their freedom. Juneteenth is not about Abraham Lincoln freeing a slave. Juneteenth is about the enslaved folks who fought, died, ran away, got arms and legs cut off, were murdered, were raped, were all of these things, and pushed the country, same way we're pushing the country now, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, you know, defunding the police and reallocating funds to youth services. That's what got them free, the same way that we're trying, what the changes that we're making and the activists that push for these legislations, that's what, you know, the president might get credit for it, but net, you're living in a time where you get to see, oh, the people on the ground forced the country this way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because one day the president woke up and had a change of heart. It's because we forced the government to do better. Mm-hmm. And so Juneteenth is a remembrance that this is a long legacy of what it means to struggle for your own freedom. And so the way that we're celebrating in Hudson is to be very intentional about saying that. So for kids, it's not, you know, it's like, oh, man, my people are dope, you know, because sometimes mm-hmm. you learn about slavery in America, and it almost feels like, oh, your people were just shuffling along, hoping and praying that somebody came and did something. And when you really get into the history of it and you get into, like, the things that I practice, the music that I listen to, the traditions, the rituals that I do, those are the things that gets passed down in 50 years, 100 years. Somebody's going to be practicing whatever it is that you kept alive. And so I think for kids to be able to, like, one, get poured into, that means when they're 50 and they're 60, that's what heritage and cultural festivals do. They plant these seeds in you. Then when you become an adult, now you're passing those rituals down to keep your culture alive, right? Even if you don't know what it's called anymore, even if you do it differently, those things are going to connect to each other, you know? And so I think that that's a beautiful thing for a kid to know, even if they're not consciously doing it, that they're just being around it, and it's, you know, and it's positive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I feel you. So that you said that. Do you feel as though Juneteenth needs more recognition?
We started to talk about this a little bit off mic a little bit earlier, and I think that I struggle with it. I think that recognition amongst black people, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Recognition nationally in terms of respecting our you know, that, you know, yeah, we, you know, yeah. They're emancipated, that they chose, right? We chose this holiday. It wasn't given to us. This is something that we fought for and something that we we decided we want to celebrate this day and turn it to holiday. Yes. What I always get nervous about what recognition looks like is whether or not it gets watered down and gets co-opted and taken and sold back to us. And that's always my concern when it comes to what recognition looks like. Because for me, it's just like, as I want us to recognize it. I don't necessarily know that I care if other people recognize it, because we didn't do this for y'all. We did this for to pat ourselves on the back. We did this to brush off our own shoulders. You know, we didn't do this so that you know, for your gaze. We did this for ourselves. And so when you start looking at on our things, you start feeling like you are entitled to it, and you're entitled to do what you want with it, and you haven't you as in the history of this, you know, the United States, haven't shown, in terms of power structures, haven't shown that you do things with respect. You don't, you know, and so we have a long history of feeling disrespected when we begin and initiate, you know, the things that become cultural norms. And so I get really nervous about what recognition looks like and who's recognized. So in one respect, yes, I hope we universally recognize it. I hope we universally celebrate it. I hope that anytime on Juneteenth, no matter what city you're in, that you know that there's a Juneteenth celebration going down, and you know, for Black people. I do hope that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see. It's more of a personal question. Mm-hmm. Do you, even though segregation and slavery was said to have ended a while ago, do you still feel like there are some forms of segregation, or I guess unfair treatment between Black and white?
Yes. Do you?
Of course, with the police brutality situations and all that stuff. Like we had a couple of videos of what George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, all them who were victims of that.
Murdered.
Yeah, murdered. They were, yeah. That was very, I feel like there's still a lot of unfairness between those two races. Also, I feel like school doesn't
promote. Those two races? How do you identify?
Well, I identify as Black, of course, but I don't know. But I was up my bad. But I feel like, school doesn't really inform us about as much as they should. Like, school does not talk about Juneteenth at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get off, I think we get some break for it if school is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
But school doesn't really, you don't get taught about it. You get taught about the Emancipation Proclamation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All that. But you don't really get taught, like, deep, like, the traditions of it. Like, that's what I really want to find out about. Mm-hmm. Like, because Juneteenth is new to me. Like,
got it. Literally. Yeah. I can speak to that a little bit in terms of, like, the traditions, because I'm still learning about it, right? I didn't grow up with Juneteenth as a holiday either, as I was saying, and we didn't get days off. Like, this is, you know, the mayor of Hudson, Kamal Johnson, designated Juneteenth as a city holiday last year. So this is new.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be something that the kids now will be normalized for them as they go through school. Mm-hmm. But that's like little, you know, that's 2020, you know, year 2020, that is starting to become something that is recognized as like a holiday. Mm-hmm. So I would say we're in the same boat in that sense. But I have, because I am doing this, starting to do this annual probably become a festival right now, just call it a celebration, was it's like I need to hold myself accountable to knowing the history, so I started to do my research. So I definitely am just, you know, I encourage everyone to keep reading about it. What I have learned thus far, even why it started, like these are all things that I've been like just doing my own research around. So like, you know, that in Galveston, Texas was the last place, but why was that? Like, so, you know, start asking these questions. What I can share, if you want me to share some more tidbits, particularly since it's really interesting. You know how in school when you learn about history, particularly Black history, it's told to you one way, and then you find out about that history from someone else, and you know, from a scholar or professor or you know, an elder Black folk, and be like, yo, they only told me this like little bit. You know, that was just this one sentence, and then you come or you read a book or you watch a documentary, it's like, yo, we should have spent a whole semester. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So I've been starting to find that out even with the way Juneteenth is being told in the public. So for example, you know, when people go to say, like, oh, what is Juneteenth? Usually they'll say, yeah, so the last of our, you know, our ancestors in Galveston, Texas, there was this general, and he came through town, and he sat on the state, you know, Capitol steps, and he read off the part of the Emancipation Proclamation that said, here henceforth, no, you know, enslaved person in the South shall have to be enslaved again, mm-hmm. right? And so then this general gets all this credit to say, like, you know, he came in, like, you know, on the Great White Hope, and it's always positioned like, if we can find the Great White Hope, mm-hmm. then we can tell this story, because, you know, we all, you know, we need them to believe that they need us to save them all the time, you know? So then I find out, in my research, you know, there's a professor who has this class on YouTube. It's called In Class with Dr. Carr. Mm-hmm. And he's been breaking down, like, a lot of history. And then I watched his episode on Juneteenth. And he was talking about how the general, yes, he came through town, but there was 9 black regiments mm-hmm. in tow. They were the ones who were marching through the countryside. And the reason why Texas was last is because those that were slaveholders were moving west so that they can keep their slaves. Mm-hmm. And so that's why there were so many people that far west that they had to get to in order to let them know. And mm-hmm. it was because these black regiments who were only, you know, made soldiers to help win the war for the North, but the fact that they were, and they were riding through the South, letting their brothers and sisters know, like, yo, we free. Yeah. Like, that part was, like, something that blew my mind versus, like, you know, because the way that it was told to me, I had already just imagined all these white men, soldiers coming in and da-da-da-da, and it's like, and then when I find out, I was like, oh, that's dope. Yeah, that's so, and then to find out why did it take so long? Because, you know, the proclamation was signed in 1863. These people didn't find out until 1865.
Yes, that was a lot.
Right? And so, and it's because that, you know, the slaveholders weren't trying to let them go. You know what I mean? They definitely wasn't going to tell them, you know? And so that little tidbit was really fascinating to me. And then I find out, how did Juneteenth travel? Like, how does something happen so long ago and then we know about it today, right? Mm-hmm. Particularly history of ours that's not kept in history books. Mm-hmm. So then how do we pass things down when we know that our history is intentionally kept out of history books?
Yes.
We're doing it ourselves. Oral traditions, cultural traditions. Like, nobody, you don't read about the electric slide, but you know how to do it.
Yeah, of
you
course,
know?
Yes.
But well, so how do you know that? It's a tradition. It becomes a ritual, and it's something that you pass down, and you have to recognize it as a beautiful thing of your people in order for you to even want to pass it down, in order for, you know, grandma to, you know, hop up there and be, you know, mm-hmm. it's electric, you know? Yeah. So for us, for me, when I found out how during what they call the Great Migration, I call it a Great Displacement, because I feel we were forced to go north from the South to try to get jobs and to get away from segregation, that those traditions were going with them. And so, like, Juneteenth made it to to big cities first, Chicago, da-da-da, it's almost 6:30. And then there are certain states that it went to and that have now state-recognized. Mm-hmm. I think 42 states have recognized Juneteenth as a state holiday, mm-hmm. which is pretty amazing in terms of, yeah, the history.
Mm-hmm. All right, so with that, we are going to our 6:30 news break, news update. So, what you mean? Oh, my bad. We're taking a quick show break because our news is not working correctly. I was misinformed. Sorry. So we're taking our quick break. We'll be back with you with more conversation on Juneteenth.
Left hand first, put your right hand on top. Now, ma, 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 ma. put your right hand on top. Now, mob,
throw it up. Where you at? Throw it up. Where you at? Am I riding even if we catch a flare? We pulled up in a photo. And my shirt is a polo. Baby girl flashed me like a photo. And I'm by my green like a damn lawnmower. Hey, rush it. Like sunny, get a plate, take tonic. I'm finna get, cause she put her hair in a bun. Look, do me a favor, like a book. I'm by my paper, I'm finna work her, I call it labor. I'm on the screen like a motherfucking saver.
Ma, don't stop.
I get it wide, I get the party lit outside. I get it crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside. I get it crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside. I get it crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside.
Ma, show me how you work, don't stop. In the back of the party, get sloppy. Baby, off the molly. Baby, won't stop it. Ma, don't stop. Crock pot, I'm super hot. She's super soggy, need a mop. I need all her friends. I need the whole team. I'm rocking polo jeans. I got an arrow fit on me. Sweat bad lean, now drop it. Show me if you the topic. Just do it like Nike.
Okay, mop it down low. Now mop it to your socks. Mop it to the flow. Now do the milli rock. Look left, look right. Dip it all night. Yup, trying to spend the night. I'ma give her all pipe. I'm geeked, I'm lit like a lighter. My pants, they on fire, they so hot. Sippin' on that Ciroc. Look at my mop, I rock. Yeah, look at my mop, I rock. Amazed, I'm geeked, out of space. You lazy, Ma, don't stop.
I get it crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit outside. I get it crunk, I get it wide, I get the party lit.
Best move, rapping this baby, man. Let's go. Ready to get it started. Whenever you want it, I was the man with the plans. Shorty pull up to the Grammy Awards. My 40, she told me she like how I'm dressed and I ain't eating no salad. Uh-huh. Stevie Wonder conceded I'm having. I told her be patient, she waited. I gave it a deep. Brought out doing a beatbox challenge. Like, yeah, get in there, baby. You know me, hit you anywhere, baby. Let's go. Know she gonna do whatever I say. I can put in the cup, call it lemonade, baby. Let that bitch off, I'm a renegade, baby. I'ma get out of there, I ain't feeling that. Run up on me with a cell phone, now they gonna fuck around down the internet. Fuck, kill him on IG Live. Let the whole world see them die. Yeah. Shout out to spot him, we got him. Get out. Even though he a rapper, he shot him. I get this big pretty ass smile from my mama. Jeez. Get this motherfucking voice from my daddy. I learned how to pimp on them hoes. My uncle. Let her tick on my toes, cause I'm nasty. Okay. Like, fuck it, she asked me to do it. Play with me, I'ma actually shoot you. Most of these niggas cap, we knew it. These niggas drop shit, we laugh at their music. I know how to murder these niggas with condoms. Fucking they from the back, I do it. I buy a Cuban and fill it with diamonds. Send my assistant to pick up some condoms. Instagram model at the hotel, text me now. Want me to give it a joke. Damn, this baby on fine, it won't go out. They know that little niggas a problem. Got a big 4-5 on D-Cop. Go. Using big words like I'm T.I. Turn up. Don't wanna get me started. Turn me up, it's gonna see why. You a bitch, JoJo, see why. Let the wrong get rich. Both of these chains on my neck, they compete with each other. They fighting and throwing a fit. Know how these like to argue and beef with each other. Fight now over the issue. You should already know you ain't searching the baby, cause that nigga like to come in with the stick. I don't like to get it in the mix.
No,
I done got paid in full, my nigga. I get the buzz like a Mitch. Even got white people all in my dick. Yeah, second year, 6-time Grammy nominated. Came through, turned up, everybody hated. Before I had my first M, it was $1 billion, baby. He back the house in the 7 of Las Vegas. You want this shit, gotta earn it. He off the leash. He don't think he can get murdered. Know how to swim, so I fuck who fucking with me. I take a bridge and I burn it. Let me see if you can swim, little nigga. Shit getting out of hand. I just parked new Benz, hopped in a new Benz, little nigga.
Let's go.
And I don't want new friends.
That ain't the baby, that's my baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said they want that old shit. Back, you know, I told them don't get me started. They said they want that baby Jesus.
Put me in that mode.
Yeah,
get that baby,
you know,
Jesus.
I'm trying to enjoy the bread, you know, be fancy and shit, be mainstream and shit, you know. They said I went commercial.
All right, so DJ Ricky, me, I am back. On a little break. Last week we were talking about Juneteenth. So this year, what should we expect from the celebration that you are having?
Yeah, so really
excited about this year. It's going to be bigger than last year in the sense that we were able to start planning earlier. Mm-hmm. So we're able to do more. We're going to be in a different location. We're going to be at the water park. waterfront. That's it. Waterfront Park, which is off of Front Street in Hudson, across the tracks behind Amtrak's, the Amtrak train station. And there's a really nice park over there that faces the river. And so that's where the festivity is going to be. So location is going to be really beautiful. There's a lot of green. And so we're going to begin at early in the morning. We're going from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's a whole day of, like, activities. So we have a lot of things that are going to be intergenerational. We really were trying to think about all the age groups, from the elders down to the babies, and making mm-hmm. sure that everyone felt like, okay, if I go down there, am I going to enjoy it? Or am I going to, is there going to be things for me? So we, you know, for like in the morning, we're going to have an ancestral reverence at the water, where we have a sister who's going to do a sound healing and a libation to the ancestors. Because, you know, Juneteenth is, you know, it's honoring that, our ancestors fight for our freedom, right? So we want to begin with that, you know. So we're going to, you know, start. And we're already at the river. So we're going to do that in the morning and then do a sound healing, like, meditation moment. And then we're going to build a community altar. And so we're asking the community to bring pictures and memorabilia of their loved ones that they've lost and put it on the community altar, because we want to honor our communal elders, our communal ancestors and people that we lost together. Mm-hmm. So the idea about this year is really, like, how do we take the idea of community love to the next level? Like the theme, I think on the flyer we have celebrate Black freedom, history, joy, and community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, everything that we're doing on that day is in service of that. You know, what does it mean to celebrate Black freedom? What does it mean to celebrate Black history? What does it mean to celebrate Black joy? What does it mean to celebrate Black community? Mm-hmm. And so all of the activities are in service of what that looks like to us at this juncture. And so we're going to have my aunt, Ms. Badilla of Diata International Folkloric Theater will be there to talk about Ubuntu, which is a saying in Africa around I am because we are. So she's going to give a talk around that. And then her and her children are going to do a dance and drumming session mm-hmm. with the community. So if you're into dancing and into African dancing and drumming, you could be able to, like, join them in this session and just learn and get down. My brother, who's an artist, he's all around artist. He did the design for the flyers, but he's also a barber and a wearable art artist. Like, he takes clothing and he transforms them through art. Mm-hmm. He's going to be giving a barber session. So he and his sister, who has a hair salon, are going to do a barbering and braiding 101. So folks who want to learn how to barber, if you want to learn how to, like, I just want to learn how to be able to mm-hmm. edge myself up when I can't get to the barber, or fade in my back so that, you know, I can keep myself clean, because I can't afford to go to the barber all the time. But if I can keep myself clean. So he's going to give a couple barber sessions, and she's going to give a couple braiding sessions. So, you know, it's geared towards the youth. Like, we want some of the young men and some of the young women and young gender non-binary folks who want to learn young, and maybe they want to make that a skill or something that they do. So we're going to have some, you know, everything is going to be interactive and hands-on for the most part. Mm-hmm. We have a live DJ. We've gotten some funding to be able to feed the young people and other folks who can't afford to buy food from the vendors. We're going to have a grill out there and be making, you know, give out the hot dogs and the hamburgers and water and ice pops to them. Mm-hmm. We have a water slide, which for all ages. Yeah, I asked him, I was like, yo, can adults get down on this? He's like, yeah. He's like, that's going to hold 400 pounds. Come on through. So there's going to be a water slide out there. Well, there's going to be an arts and craft corner. So we're going to, you know, have T-shirts. People are going to be able to make their own Juneteenth T-shirts out there, because we want to buy a bunch of T-shirts already printed and then sell them. It's like, we really want the community to just have things. We don't want to charge. So we're going to try to do everything at no cost. Like, it's free to get in. It's free to do the activities.
I'm going to have to come. This event sounds lit.
We have
fun,
a video game station.
Oh, not yet. Yeah. My nephew
is a gamer, and he's building a whole video like in a tent. It's going to be some monitors. And it's going to be, I think we have a Wii, a PS2, and an Xbox. I think we have one of each of those game systems that's going to be on site for the gamers.
There's a jazz concert, Melodious Thunk Jazz Festival will be happening. So for the jazz heads, you know, particularly the elders might be listening. There's a jazz concert from 4 to 9. What else are we gonna have? I'm doing astrology readings. I read astrology charts. So during the evening, you know, I'll do some mini astrology stuff. There's gonna be our healing arts community. So like my cousin who does Grow Black Hudson. Any of you who know of her work, where she's give out plants and soil to the community and helps the community build their own small gardens in their small spaces. She's gonna be out there with a couple of other BIPOC garden folk. There's going to be tabling from different community services. There's going to be vendors. We did a call out to all the black vendors from the counties. And we've actually, a sister from here from Catskill is coming to vend. She has a spot called Good Hair.
Right next to my house. Yeah, right next to my house.
She'll be in the house. She did your hair? She'll be there vending, and she's going to do an art activity with the kids for Father's Day, because it's also the day before Father's Day.
20th, yeah.
Yeah, the 20th, and so she's going to do art making with the kids for Father's Day. There's going to be a whole King Daddy, Proud Papa corner. There's some men that are putting that together. There's a community quilt that we're building. We're having this whole big quilt, and we want people to come, take a patch, personalize it, and we're going to build this whole community quilt made from everybody. My mom is going to do a knitting and crochet circle, so you could just chill and sit under the tree if that's your style.
My aunt to come. That's her thing.
Tell her to bring her yarn and her crochet needles.
She'll get down with it.
Tell her to come. Tell her we're gonna have shade, and all she got to do is bring her favorite lawn chair and her knitting supplies and come through.
She'll definitely get down with that. Yeah, I'll let her know.
And then we're gonna end the day with a film screening of a film that was made last year from a sister in Texas, speaking of Texas and where Juneteenth originates. And it's called Miss Juneteenth. It's a film called Miss Juneteenth that's really beautiful. It's set in a small black town, so it feels a lot like these towns that we live in, Hudson and Catskill. And it's centered around a mother and daughter, and that, you know, the fact that the daughter in, you know, 2020 doesn't want to do this pageant that is this cultural heritage thing that her mom did, and how they're trying to struggle through, her mom really trying to force it on her to have to see each other and love each other. And it's, and then, you know, the daughter's father is in the film in a really beautiful way. It just feels like a regular black folk, regular family life in a small town, and it really feels like a good film for us to have. So that's the way we're going to end the day at 9 o'clock. And we're going to have one of my highlights that I'm really excited about is an art exhibit that we're calling Black in a Day, and it's going to be visual displays of black spaces that used to exist in Hudson, or existed that didn't have a building. Like my Aunt Pam's Diata Folklore, they never had a building or a cultural center, but they're a cultural institution in the city. Like my brother used to have a place called the Hip Hop Chop Shop, so we're going to have this art exhibit of that space, of Savoy's, of the black church that used to be in the city. And we're going to have visual elements that represent black culture. So there's going to be something on hair, because we're going to have the hair braiding corner. So we're going to have, like, you know, and in a beautiful way, in a, like, do-rags are dope. Bonnets are dope. You know, like, you know, I do not agree with Auntie Monique when she was coming at the sisters for wearing bonnets at the airport. It's just like all of who we are is beautiful. And so we're going to visually capture that. We're going to have descriptions and content around it, Juneteenth fun facts, so people get to learn about Juneteenth without it being like a lecture. We're just going to do some visual art-based things to display the history in beautiful pictures and in beautiful descriptions, and it'll be placed around the space. And then dancing. Like, I'm trying to get an electric slide and a soul train line going. You know, I'm trying to get that good black family reunion vibe going. So it's going to be a very dynamic day. It's going to be a long day, but it's going to be beautiful. So whatever time you can come out, you're going to find something, hopefully, that you're into. And, you know, just bring your blanket and chill and just be in community.
So is it going to be something where, like, it's like you direct people, or is this going to be something where it's like you can go around, do whatever you want, and just have fun and experience the whole thing?
Both. So there'll be, we have
thanks to AmeriCorps, speaking of MHA, thanks to AmeriCorps, we have a group of folks that are volunteering their time to help us direct people. There'll be people on site to ensure that if you, it's a big space, but it's not so big that you feel lost. It's not like being in New York City at one of their festivals.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's like blocks long.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it'll be big enough for you to feel like, wow, this is, you know, vibrant, nice, but like, small enough for you to be like, okay, over there, I see that's the art, that's the kids' corner over there. Okay, I see they crocheting over there. Okay, there's a DJ. Like, you'll be able to physically see everything. Okay. And the vendors will be kind of in the same, like, there'll be a vendor row, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but there'll also be people, there'll be a welcome table and, you know, information. And so, yes, you'll definitely have help, but you'll also just be able to just, you know, do your thing. You come and you get in where you fit in. Yeah.
All right. So I know you proposed the question earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What does freedom mean to us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
so
yeah. What does freedom mean to you?
I'm going to go first. I feel as though freedom is the right to do, to like, freedom is basically like the right to do what you feel is right. Like, I know there's a lot of things, like laws, that prevent people, like, from doing things that they feel are right. Like, I know we have freedom of speech and stuff, but then at the same time, you go to events, right? And you can't just, like, promote something without law enforcement or someone here getting involved in it, right? Yeah, it's gonna be someone there preventing you, like, oh no, hold up, you cannot do that here. And so I feel like, exactly. So I feel like that shouldn't, freedom, a part of the freedom is having that ability to do that whenever you feel. I feel as though freedom is just the ability to do what you want. Like, I know, not doing whatever you want, like, still having some boundaries, but you know how they have curfews for younger kids? Like, not 9 o'clock curfew if you're under a certain age. I feel like that's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like they should have that, like, if you're in a different mindset than, like, the average person, then I feel as though that's different. But if you're out there, you know, if you're,
there's having integrity and good character, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's interesting how you hesitated because you're thinking about, like, oh, if you have the freedom to do what you want, you're going to do something bad.
Yes, that's why.
And I feel like those are the things that we get trapped up in our head thinking about versus the fact that actually most people aren't, like, looking to have freedom for the sake of, like, hurting other people and running amok, not on purpose, you know. And I'm not saying that there's definitely a lot of folks out there, particularly, you know, those white supremacists with pitchforks out there are just, you know, wanting that, and I'm not saying they aren't, but I do generally think that particularly folks who think about what does it mean to be free, who haven't had a real sense of freedom, aren't looking for to now have reverse power over the people who have been in power, you know. We're generally just looking for a sense of self and agency in our own lives, you know, an agency meaning, like you were saying, like, you know, I just want to know that, you know, if I am thinking or feeling or wanting to do something that I'm passionate about, I can go ahead and do that, you know, without it being like, you know, all these restrictions, or, you know, having to pay for it, or having to jump through a whole lot of hoops just to, like, exert my humanity, you know? And I think that's what I hear you guys, you know, referring to, is just like, you know, I just want the freedom to be me, you know?
Just be you without being judged, without being classed, like, being put into a certain category. Like, being categorized, that's big right there. Like if you do a certain thing, oh, you must be this, or you must, like let's say you like the style of country people, right? Like, you wear, like, a little camouflage shirt or something. People be like, oh, you must be a country boy just because you, like, wear, you know, something like that. Exactly. Like, maybe I just like those clothing. So I feel like being categorized is a big thing that the community struggles with. It's something that needs to be fixed.
Oh, the mic.
Yeah, you might not yet. But, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of things that the community has that people are still struggling with.
Yeah.
Being accepting of people. I know there's still a lot of even with racial stuff, like earlier with Isha, to yesterday and today at school, with racism still going around, stuff like that. So there's still a lot of people who don't really accept people for skin color, genders, gender identity, a lot of whole stuff like that. So there's just a lot of stuff that the community, that makes the community,
it makes it hard,
seem bad.
Yeah,
like a bad environment to be in.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that we get a lot of, we get a lot of the blame for something that is beyond, you know, being in, quote unquote, the community, right? We get blamed for what is a bigger issue in the U.S. societal structure in terms of what are our social norms and what are our social values. Like, if we value a certain way of getting ahead, then these are the symptoms that come along with valuing that way of getting ahead. So if getting ahead is merit-based and based on you competing to win over somebody else, if it's based on, you know, nepotism, if it's based on class structure, and if, and you know, and it's so embedded that we buy into certain things and we almost defend certain things that then trickle down into the way that we treat each other and don't realize it's part of a bigger system, you know. And that's how, when we talk about systemic racism or structural racism, and when you it's like now it's just a so it said so much, you really sometimes lose what does that really look like in practice. That looks like what you're talking about, you know. It looks like, you know, the beginnings of that is judging other folks. The beginnings of that is someone is being prejudiced and gets away with it.
Beginning, especially that,
you know. And so these are the, but judging too, because judging is based, you know, white supremacy, systemic racism, these things are are about judging other people and then having the power to do something with that judgment, right? And so if we had a culture in which, like, it felt odd to judge somebody for being different, then there were certain things that would not be able to trickle into being like a sustainable structure, because it would be, it just wouldn't be something we do in our day to day. But because we do that, you know, like the fact that you're, so then you police yourself. Like, the system doesn't even have to send somebody to your house to police you, because you end up policing yourself at that point, right? So now, before you leave the house, now I'm going to take the shirt off and put on this one, because I don't want to deal with it today. Right? And
so I kind of like that with school too. Like, dress coding is a big thing. Like, you you go out, you get this new shirt, it's like, oh yeah, it's fly. You get ready, you get excited, and then you think about it. You get up the next day, you're like, oh shoot, I can't wear this to school. They about to send me to the office. Call home my mom, do all that. So then it's kind of like, there should be more freedom in terms of that too. I feel like that, it's just a, it's just basically like a little thing that, it's not a big deal. Like, maybe if you're younger, like okay, I can see 6-7 year old kid wearing a Playboy shirt, but high school, you're already a young adult, you should be able to wear clothes you feel like you want to wear.
Well, I mean, I'll push back on that one, because now we're getting into gender politics and how, you know, male power, right?
Yeah, true, that's true.
So, you know, there are ways, like, you know, you as a man, growing into a man, have to also be mindful of where your privilege comes in and where, like, my capacity, I mean, because when you become an adult man, you actually probably will be praised for it. You might not be now because you're a teenager, but because you're in a, I assume you identify as a man, as a guy, that you will get away with certain things that until girls and women are safe from sexual and domestic violence abuse, I do encourage boys and men to be mindful of how they exert their privileges, you know. And Playboy, you know, and I know that Playboy actually had a, used to have a lot of in-depth articles in the magazine, and did, and that the, what's his name, Hugh Hefner, in terms of race, was very, what they would have considered progressive at that time in terms of the people who he, you know, engaged himself with on race. But in terms of gender, I would say that, yeah, I would push back on Playboy. I think that's something you can choose your battles, because I do think that Playboy can be a bit, what do you call it, unnecessarily
triggering for girls and women while they're still fighting for their freedom.
All right. Well, we are sadly coming to the end of our time. Thank you for being on the show, DJ Ricky. I mean, DJ
Thank
Popcorn.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the sound engineer. Phoebs, our right hand man. You've been, you know, over on the call, making sure we all good, helping us through it and everything.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, this was great. Thank y'all. And you know, for y'all listening, you know, these young men have a very impressive, like, we talked for probably a good 40 minutes before we even went on air, you know, at this level of conversation. So that just, you know, shows you, you know, what Catskill, you know, has to offer in its young people, and that they are, you know, they have a lot on their hearts and their minds. And I hope that, you know, as you look at young people and see them, you know, look at them from a place of respect. You know, they might, you know, being young does not make them less than. And, you know, these young people are like out here doing their best to, you know, hold it down and have pride in themselves and do better. And so I thank y'all for the, for this. This was nice. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on, too. You know, thank you for showing us about Juneteenth and the wonders of it.
Yo, y'all should come down with your equipment. Y'all should come live. Yeah, we should have a live broadcast.
That'd be fun.
I'm gonna put that on air. That'll you know force the powers that be to make it so. But yeah, I think a live broadcast down there, and you can talk to the community and ask them questions and get more, more diverse responses to, like, you know, what is Juneteenth, what is freedom, and why are we together?
Collect some data. So DJ Ricky, take it away.
All right. If you want to be a guest or get involved in programming our radio show, email ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. Big thank you to Waveform and WGXC for making this radio program possible. Thank you to the Catskill and Hudson Youth Clubhouses and Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties for supporting this program. Thank you for listening. Catch us next week and every Friday at 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next Friday. Again, thank you, DJ Ricky.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I called you my own name. Oh, my God.
DJ Popcorn, but remember, everyone, to make sure you keep your head up. Juneteenth is on the way.
Yes, sir.
I'm through.
Mm-hmm. Peace.
People here right now that I didn't know last year. Who the fuck are y'all? I swear it feels like the last few nights we've been everywhere and back, but I just can't remember it all. What am I doing? What am I doing? Oh yeah, that's right, I'm doing me, I'm doing me, I'm living life right now, man, and this is what I'ma do till it's over, till it's over, but it's far from over.